So it's the end of the year, and that seems like a good time to talk about how to handle all kinds of endings. One of the most stressful has to be quitting or losing a job, which turns out to be a lot more common than it used to be. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average American worker will change jobs 12 times during her or his career. That's a lot of quitting. Ilana Gershon calls this the quitting economy. She's an anthropologist. She's been studying the contemporary workplace. And she says that if you want to have a successful career in the U.S. today, you have to be a job quitter, which to me sounds horrible. Doesn't quitter imply loser?
I am. No, it's interesting that you mentioned that because a lot of academics told me not to use the word quitter, but everyone in my fieldwork who I was talking to really had no problems with the fact that I was talking about quitting jobs. And in part, it's because they understand quitting jobs to be quitting for another job. Mm. And so they see jobs as stepping stones in a career in which you're not committed to one company. The way to create a career is to move from job to job at different companies. And so quitting has just become part of what it means to have a career these days.
So if people are choosing jobs now, knowing that they'll quit in a few years, how does that change what people look for in a job?
One of the things that people were telling me is that they wanted a job that came with a good company name so that having worked at that company signaled that they were a good worker. But that also came with some kind of odd conundrums because some of the companies in industry get a reputation from having hired really badly between the years 1996 and 1999 or something.
God, it's like a vintage of wine. It's either a good year or a bad year.
It is. And so it was good to have been hired there before the bad hiring streak. So it's a kind of trying to game it in that way becomes really difficult. And the other thing that they were looking for is they really wanted jobs at companies that could give them the skills to get the next job.
Hmm. Do managers get this? I mean, employees are coming to work with very different expectations, so this must change the role of managers too.
I knew managers would tell me that what they would do when they were handling a new employee is that they would take them out to lunch and sit them down and say, well, you know, I know you're only going to be with us for a couple of years, and it's my role as manager to try to give you the new skills so that you can get the next job that you would really like. And they would explain that they were trying to help people get better so that they can quit. I found this very odd.
So how did we get here? Because this is a long way from the days of the old company men.
So I think what happened is that we had a dramatic change in metaphor, that the metaphor underlying the employment contract has changed. From the 18th century till around 1980s, people had this idea that they owned themselves as though they were property. And in the 1980s, things began to shift so that people began to imagine themselves as though they owned themselves as though they were a business, that they were a bundle of skills, assets, relationships, qualities, and experiences that they had to consciously manage as though they were a business and continually enhance.
Wait, what's the difference between imagining yourself as property versus imagining yourself as a business?
Both are ideas of ownership, but when you imagine yourself as property, you get yourself back at the end of the day. You have a clear boundary between work and life, and you don't have to work on managing it.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, do you come to this situation with any particular value judgments? Like, do you think it's a bad thing that we now live in this quitting economy where employees are constantly moving on to the next job and figuring out how to quit? Or do you think, no, it's actually probably a good thing. It gives the workers more power.
I think the quitting is one of the places in which I'm trying to figure out how workers get power in a system that is not geared towards them. And in this case, the incentives are done in such a way that I don't think companies are benefiting that much from having a quitting economy, right? They're losing people who know how the company runs, and they're losing the possibility of having people in the company with long-term knowledge. They're getting rid of the ways in which sometimes companies need repositories of knowledge.
So how do companies manage to thrive when you've got a workforce of quitters? And how do you keep them invested in their work?
Right. So one of the things that I think people have started to do is say, okay, company loyalty is no longer going to be the emotion that is going to keep people connected to the company. And so instead, what they're emphasizing as an emotional commitment is passion. Probably your listeners are constantly hearing about how you have to find what you're passionate about and do that as a job. And that's a way to get for companies to find workers who are willing to work very long hours. It's a way to get people who are willing to put up with not so wonderful working conditions for the hope of being able to do the job that you love to do and the work that you love to do at some point. But all of this is passion focusing on work and not focusing on being part of a community in a workplace that gives you satisfaction. So you're not supposed to be invested in your coworkers, except in as much as they might be able to give you a job in another company when they've quit and gotten hired elsewhere.
This also strikes me as something that works very well for young employees who are maybe building careers. I'm not sure how well it works for people once they get into their, say, mid to late 50s, because it's pretty hard to find another job if you quit and you're 57.
I think that's right. I actually feel that it's creeping down. What I saw was that people in their late 40s and early 50s were experiencing longer and longer gaps between jobs, and they were often being pushed into doing contract work and consulting. And that was sometimes lucrative for them, but also was really stressful and nerve-wracking because you then had shorter contracts and you didn't know whether you were going to get the next contract. And people found this way of living much more stressful as they got older.
So do you have advice on how to thrive in the quitting economy?
Well, I can tell you what I tell my students. I tell my students a couple of things. I tell them that they have even more incentive to be kind and generous to everyone around them because you don't know in 5 or 10 years whether that person is going to be the person who's going to be deciding on whether you get the next job or not. Mm-hmm. But I also tell people, look, these are not just economic decisions. These are cultural decisions in which we make decisions to commit to a quitting economy in many small ways, and we can choose to do otherwise.
Okay.
And
what do you mean? What's, for example?
We could have managers who don't take people aside and say, look, what I'm most invested in is helping you get the skills in order to go further. They can say instead, what I'm most invested in is making this company the best place for you possible. And what I want you to know is that we cherish people who are repositories of knowledge. There are all these ways in which you can shift. And as far as I can tell, a lot of the age discrimination happens precisely in these small ways.
Oh, yeah. You also wrote a piece recently about the subtle language, subtle words that are clues to age discrimination, energy being one, for instance.
No, there are all these ways in which people are signaling that what they want are the youngest workers possible. Enthusiasm, energy, passion, all these words about vitality are signals that the people I was interviewing who were older were telling me, yeah, we know what they want. That's the hidden wink that they are giving that they aren't going to be interested in us.
And in the meantime, since it is a quitting economy, what's your best advice on how to quit?
Oh, okay, so one of the other problems for trying to quit, which we didn't talk about, is that it's actually hard for people to find time to find the next job, especially because you're supposed to be so passionate about your current job and devoting so much time to it that managing having a thriving family and being a passionate worker often doesn't leave you time to find the next job. And that, too, is a real problem.
Ilana Gershon. She's the author of Down and Out in the New Economy, How People Find or Don't Find Work Today.